How do you diagnose congenital hip dysplasia?
On exam, clump, the hip clunking. And then if they're under 6 months, you do an X-ray, ultrasound. Greater than 6 months, you can do an X-ray.
Nailed it. So Ortolani Barlow maneuvers, clicking, clunking. If positive, do ortho referral. If ortho referral is not listed, then you go to ultrasound of under 6 months, X-ray of over 6 months. Excellent. And I told you on my USMLE, I had 7 months and I chose X-ray.
Okay.
So what's the treatment?
For hip, is it the Pavlik harness?
Nailed it. So Pavlik harness, aka abduction harness.
Okay.
How do you diagnose SCIFI?
Skippy. Would you do an X-ray for that?
Yep, and what's the classic presentation for SCIFI?
Skippy, it's a hip, obese kind of hip pain. Can't remember.
Well, I'm asking you. So look, it's an 11 to 13-year-old. It's a pre-adolescent overweight boy with a painful limp.
Okay, painful one.
That's classic SCIFI.
Okay.
Okay. And then they're just going to tell you that there's slippage of the epiphyseal plate in the hip. Avascular necrosis, in contrast, like let's say they give you a 5 to 8-year-old who has a painful limp, that's not going to be SCIFI. That'll be avascular necrosis, like calf Peart's, right? And if there's a known etiology, like let's say sickle cell as the cause, or let's say the kid for whatever reasons on chronic steroids, it's not like calf Peart's. It would just be avascular necrosis, but like calf Peart's is if it's idiopathic. So how do you
So
diagnose
person,
that?
I was thinking X-ray, but I'm like, is that how you see the avascular necrosis?
So, yep. So you do an X-ray. Now the X-ray can be negative initially, and if it's negative, what do you do?
Okay. If the X-ray is negative, do you do a bone scan?
Correct. Look at you. Good job. So bone scan or MRI if the X-ray is negative. Okay, so let's say you've got a 42-year-old male who's got a blood pressure of 180 over 120. They tell you that he has a TIA, and all of the answers are like lifestyle or medication related. What's the answer for how do you decrease recurrence?
How to decrease recurrence is you give lisinopril because you want to reduce the blood pressure.
Great, great. Now let's say they tell you he's got a carotid artery stenosis of 90%. Does that change anything?
Yeah, if the stenosis is that high, you would do a carotid endarterectomy.
Great. Now it's probably we can infer that you would need a carotid endarterectomy anyway in the setting of answers where they just give you like let's say smoking cessation or lisinopril, but you've seen questions on this now. If they give you like let's say a question where it's smoking cessation versus lisinopril, you're going to choose lisinopril, right? Hypertension is the biggest risk factor. But if you get a different question where they say carotid endarterectomy versus lisinopril, you choose carotid endarterectomy, right? Good. If you have 82-year-old woman who's found on the floor in her house and she has her urine done and you see 2+ blood, 3 to 4 RBCs per high-powered field, what's that mean?
That means rhabdo.
Perfect. So if you have false positive blood, high blood, but negative RBCs or very, very few RBCs on light microscopy, rhabdo. Perfect. Creatine kinase would be elevated. What kind of renal injury can that cause? Rhabdo.
That can cause ATN.
Good. So myoglobin's nephrotoxin. Which glycogen storage disease can cause rhabdo? You weren't expecting that one, were you?
Would it be McArdle?
Great, good job. So McArdle type 5, right? Usually an adult who has cramping with intense exercise and then is going to get can get rhabdo. So myophosphorylase deficiency, muscle glycogen phosphorylase deficiency. How do you treat gout?
No, I said no,
Good. So
and then
good. Go ahead.
I said the name of the sin. Colchicine and steroids.
Great. So Q-Cow, indomethacin, and indomethacin as your NSAID, or steroids or colchicine. Classic. Now, if they ask you, choose indomethacin first. If they don't list indomethacin or steroids as an answer, it'll be colchicine as the answer. If they give you a history of renal transplant or renal insufficiency, choose steroids.
Okay.
How do you treat chronic gout?
Allopurinol, probenecid, fabuxostat, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm. Good. So allopurinol or fabuxostat, first line, right? So those are the zinc and oxidase inhibitors. Can give probenecid, uric acid, not to be given patients who have increased uric acid production, because you can get uric acid stones. Pseudogout. How do you treat acute pseudogout?
Acute pseudogout, you treat the same as acute gout.
Great.
Same thing.
Great. What are the two most common causes of pseudogout?
Two most common causes are hemochromatosis and is it primary hyperparathyroidism? I don't know.
You nailed it. That's very impressive. That's very impressive. Yeah. So hemochromatosis and primary hyperparathyroidism, and it can present like either monoarthritis of a large joint, such as the knee, or it can present like an osteoarthritis-like presentation in the hands in somebody with hemochromatosis. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that the one with high calcium pyrophosphate, right?
Good. So calcium pyrophosphate deposition disease. It's the other name for it.
Okay.
What's the treatment for osteoarthritis?
I'm trying to figure out the order. I know what it is. I was like acetaminophen and weight loss.
Yeah, so weight loss is first. That's what they always want. Then acetaminophen.
Okay.
Let's say you've got an 80-year-old woman who's taking maximum doses of naproxen for her osteoarthritis, and she's got peripheral edema. What's the mechanism for her edema?
I forgot if it's sodium retention or if it's the decreased renal blood flow. I forgot.
Okay, so if you're taking NSAIDs, right, you're going to decrease renal blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you're knocking out prostaglandins. So that's essentially telling the kidney that you have low blood volume, even if you don't. So the kidney is going to do its pre-renal thing. It's going to start increasing fluid reabsorption through the PCT, and it's going to do that by reabsorbing sodium. So it's going to increase sodium reabsorption of the PCT. Fractional excretion of sodium is low. Water follows sodium. You get fluid retention. So on the USMLE, they're just going to say to you, like, 80-year-old woman taking maximum doses of naproxen for osteoarthritis, which she shouldn't be doing, right? She shouldn't be taking NSAIDs like that. And she has edema. What's the mechanism for her edema? The answer will be decreased renal excretion of sodium.
Okay.
Or increased renal retention of sodium.
Okay.